Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters.
And it's still January 18th.
It still is.
Those of you keeping track of our show.
Okay. Right, right. Now, if we do it, we're to broadcast for a continuous 24 hours, the date might change mid-show, but that's not the case.
Not on my watch. No way. Exactly. I'm not filibustering. Anyway, I don't want to talk about filibuster. It's hard to understand, but maybe they should go back. You have to talk for as long as you have to. I wouldn't mind that.
I kind of like that, the filibuster rule, but I know that probably makes me the enemy of the people around here.
The whole thing.
Well, no, I'll say, not to go too wildly national here, but it's the sort of the structure of the Constitution is designed to make legislation slow. It's
Not
majority.
Happening at all. It's not happening at all.
I know. We're kind of in a cultural problem here, suffice to say.
The Supreme Court, you read about that?
Yes, I did. Okay. Yes.
Neil Gorsuch not wearing a mask and how that's causing if that's also going to get really, oh my gosh.
Can't the Supreme Court? Can't the Supreme Court justices just file a lawsuit and take it to a higher court? Oh no, there is none. That's the Supreme Court.
I know. There's like, it's
that's
not
right.
Good.
They
got
to appeal to God.
That's
the only available option now.
Unbelievable. That's just not good.
One of the things that I think is certainly going to be coming up in this coming council term, it has is questions about the city charter. Yep. All right. As we all know, last year, there were ballot questions that made three changes to the Plan E charter. Oh, and by the way, for those who've never seen it, is in my vast collection of my archives. This is a Special Commission on Taxation and Public Expenditures, which is hardly a really good description, but it's about city manager government and proportional representation. This is the document, the original document.
Okay. Oh,
that
wow.
was from the legislature that actually lays out the parameters
the
of the
that?
Planning
oh,
charter.
1930, there,
this is from
that.
February of 1938. Yeah, wow. And this was passed by the legislature later that year. And that established the Planning Charter, made it a local option, the fifth charter option at the time for cities. And actually later that year, there was an effort to vote it in Cambridge, and it failed, but it prevailed in 1940, largely because of the desire to have a city manager form of government that would be more efficient
and less political,
addressing issues of political patronage, but also addressing issues of what you might loosely call good government. The tax rates had been screaming out of sight, largely because of things like political patronage and putting a lot of people on the payroll during the Depression. And there were downsides to that, including sawing the tops off of buildings in order to save money.
That's what happened on Mass Ave. Down
a lot of Central Square. Yeah. There were four-story buildings that became two-story buildings and less for many, many decades to follow, all because of kind of screwball taxation rules and kind of not a great system of government. So there were reasons why the charter was adopted eventually. Yeah. The proportional representation part
of it. That's unique to us, right?
Yeah, well, that was the original planning charter included proportional representation.
Oh, okay.
And there were, I think at one point up to 13 cities in Massachusetts that actually had pure planning charters with proportional representation. We are the only one remaining. There are still some Plan E cities that are now modified Plan E cities like Worcester and Lowell. Who still have at-large city councils, but they're not elected by proportional representation.
But they also have elected mayors.
Modified the charters to have directly elected mayors. And, for the most part, at least I know they have that in Worcester. Actually, I don't know they have that in Lowell. Do they have that in Lowell? I should know that, but I know in Worcester they do. And in spite of the statements by then Mayor Tim Murray of Worcester that there is absolutely no conflict. We get along, as he was mayor at the time. And we have no problem whatsoever, you know, no conflict with the city manager. Yeah. That was absolute falsehoods.
Interesting.
He was actually part of a group that was actually trying to change the charter to go to a strong mayor form of the government, even while he was saying that to me.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Robert, wait, stop a minute. I want to ask you, Brookline has a town manager and a town meeting.
Yep.
What form of government is that? Because they do not
have a town meeting form of government. I mean,
so it's a different, it's not, they don't have an elected mayor either.
Right. There's a difference between town government and city government.
Right? Oh, right. They're a town and not a city.
Right. So Cambridge was a town until 1846 and then became a city in 1846. You know, and you know,
okay,
and, you know, I have the 50th anniversary book, the 75th anniversary book, even the centennial stuff. Yeah, so I'm kind of a fan of it all. So now, you know, as we know, last year there was some movement to review the charter, which led to three ballot questions. One having to do with city council approval of appointments, city manager
boards
appointments,
and
boards and commissions,
but
badly written so that it's not at all clear what boards and commissions it applies to.
Right.
And furthermore, there has not yet been any established rules as to what kind of review process and protocols there would be. So presumably the current city council will have to draft some city council rules for how to do this. I mean, do they get farmed out to individual council committees? What happens, right? Do appointments from the Conservation Commission get referred to the Health and Environment Committee? None of these rules have been established, which I find sad, but it's the way it is. So that was one of them. One other one was relatively benign, just required an annual review of the city manager, which can take 5 minutes or it could take 5 weeks, right?
Right.
Nobody, you know, honestly, I think that could just turn into a formality, or unless people want to make an issue of it.
And like you have always said, they always have the power to review the city manager anytime they want.
Yeah, that's right. From my point of view, that ballot question was moot. Yeah. It added nothing. It changed nothing. But the third one had to do with charter review as a regular thing. So we had charter review last year, which led to these three questions and these changes. Mm-hmm. But that third ballot question calls for a charter review every 10 years, beginning this year.
Okay, so this year we're going to have a charter review.
Yeah, now I haven't yet heard any talk about how the city council would go about doing this.
Which is interesting because they also have to select the city manager, and it's kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, right.
Hello. So,
I mean, I don't know that this group is particularly adept at heavy lifting. So,
well, they'll farm it out, maybe to the Collins Center again. I don't know. They could,
I suppose.
Well, who pays for that if they farm it out to the Collins Center, if it's their initiative?
Do they have
a budget for that?
There would
who
be
paid
a city
for it
council.
Last time?
Well, the city council put in an order, and then the manager basically came up.
Oh, he has to come up with the money for it.
Exactly.
So that's what it would do. Okay.
Right. So where is that going to go? It's not at all clear. I mean, one of the ways this is supposed to happen in theory, but I doubt it, is that there's supposed to be a charter review committee or commission formed.
Right. In the language. Yeah.
Yeah. And approved by the city council. But how would such a committee be formed? Would it, you know, I mean, could it be like, well, okay, nine councils, each one of you guys gets to pick one? You know, no, I don't think it would be that way, but it could be.
Yeah.
Would the criteria for being appointment to this one be that you had some familiarity with charter change, or is it simply that, you know, you're in tight with certain councilors, right? I don't know. Nobody's really talked about it yet. And maybe that's for good reason, because the opportunity hasn't happened yet, but it's going to have to happen at some point this year. And it could get weird or it could get good. You know, I mean, if they decide to sort of bring in people who really are being thoughtful about the whole of the planning charter, including the proportional representation part of it, the notions about whether we should have directly elected mayors, should we have an at-large city council consisting of nine members elected at-large, or should we have district councilors?
Okay, but let me ask you something. When Envision was started, how did those committees get formed? Didn't the people
City manager appointments.
Really?
Yes.
So you applied to the city manager to be on those working committees?
Yeah, and you were vetted by people within the community development department. Right.
The community, not by Envision people, because they didn't they hire an outside.
Envision didn't exist yet. So there had been I should know this year, but I don't remember it off the top of my head. It was very controversial when Envision started, before they came up with the name Envision. Yeah. There was a move by three councilors, including, I believe, Dennis Carlone. I could guess and say Nadine Mazin and another. Hmm. It may have actually predated Jan.
Okay.
And they wanted to basically have a master plan with particular focus on the Alewife area.
Right.
Dennis Carlone wanted this to be shepherded under the ordinance committee. Oh. Which he was chair of, or at least co-chair of at the time, I believe.
He was?
That's yeah. Okay. And then he said, well, wait a minute. We have a little bit of a problem with that, because if you're actually directing a process, which is then being run by within the community development department, and with city staff, then you have a situation where you have city council who's directing city staff.
Which is not.
That's a no-go under Plan E.
Okay.
So there was an alternative proposal by, I believe, David Marr, maybe Mark McGovern and one other counselor that would put it under the auspices of the community development department rather than the ordinance committee, which is exactly what needed to happen.
Yeah.
I think David might've been mayor at the time, but I don't remember for sure.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of what had happened. Then they started off with something they called the community conversations.
Okay.
Which was after the city had hired Util.
Yeah. Okay.
There were three companies, I think, bidding on the contract. So they did that. They did community conversations. And then during that, then they did the appointments to the, and they came up with the name Envision Cambridge.
Oh, okay.
And I got to be on the advisory committee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then once that was formed, they also formed subcommittees, so I was on another one of the subcommittees as well. So, so that was under the old planning system, right? Definitely.
Okay.
City manager appointments to those committees. Now, it would be interesting if you were to, and this gets back to the whole charter change question.
Yeah.
If you were to have done that today,
yeah,
and then the city manager then made appointments after the community development had vetted them for who should serve on this is not a standing committee to exist forever. It was a purpose committee.
Yes.
Would the city council have had veto power over who got to be serving on the Envision Cambridge committee?
Well, but these are separate. These are ad hoc committees that don't last a long time. So, but that's not defined. You're right.
In the language of those charter questions last year, there was no reference to ad hoc versus standing versus with those with regulatory.
Didn't it say boards and commissions? Oh, so
you could argue
that that's not.
This was a commission. You were appointed by the city manager to this board, this Envision Cambridge advisory board.
Well, but you
can
call it
a board, a commission, a committee.
But what if it was a task force? What if it was
Tell me why a task force is not a committee, a commission. It is. These are just the semantics, really.
Well, somebody's going to argue that.
But again, this is the problem when you're extremely vague in the language, I mean, honestly, maybe they had to be, because if they said this only applies to boards and commission, then you just rename the planning board the planning task force.
True.
Right. Yeah, you know, we're not subject to the ordinance anymore, the charter change anymore.
People want more influence on the planning board and the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Historical
commission. That's really where they're aimed.
I mean, I think a lot of what was driving this was more concerns about some of the regulatory authority. Boards rather than, you know, so I mean, in the most recent city council meeting, there were actually two communications from the city manager. One was appointing David Kale to the Board of Trustees of the Cambridge Health Alliance.
Right.
Didn't seem to be subject to council approval.
Right.
Just went on through.
Yeah.
There were also appointments to the Peace Commission, which somewhat cryptically, it did say when the city clerk, you know, brought up the minutes of the meeting, order adopted, which in the past it would have said placed on file, right? Huh. Meaning there's nothing to count, it's nothing for the council to do other than read the communication, no action required. Now, technically speaking, maybe the new language will be order adopted when the council just lets
it. Have to see from here on out.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
So this is the implementation of the current changes that were as a result of the ballot questions.
Right.
But what's to happen next is really, that's the bigger question, right? You know, I mean, as everybody knows, I was not a fan of the change of the boards and commission appointments, but is there going to be a movement now to in the midst of a city manager search?
I know.
Change the form of government to something other than a city manager form of government.
Who's going to want to apply for that? You know.
I mean,
they don't know where they're going.
The juxtaposition of this is just confusing. As I say, you know, there's absolutely no notion about how this charter review commission would be formed. Right. What are their qualifications necessary, or, you know, is it just you're friendly with a counselor? We don't know. And the other thing too is there any consensus floating around town about what kinds of other changes might be in the offing? You know, I mean, I've heard for years some people say, you know, oh, we should get rid of this city manager form of government. This is an unelected person or whatever. And I said, but of course, that's the whole point. The fact that the person is unelected means they're not accountable to the political people. They're supposed to be good managers.
They're only accountable to
the council.
Yeah.
They're accountable to their people who hire them. That's it.
Right.
You know,
well, that's true. I see what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. And that was the whole idea. And in fact, there are firewalls built into the Plan E charter that make it a felony for councillors to bypass the manager to try and lean on city departments. I mean, that's how important it was felt to be back in 1938, correctly, I believe, that you should just really absolutely prohibit elected officials from being involved in management functions. You know, people seem to be forgetting that now, because I think so much now is people have a rather twisted view of democracy, where they think of democracy as saying we elected those people, therefore they should have power. It's all about power.
Right. I know.
It's not about power. It's about governance. And governance is not just about power.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, it's kind of hard to explain the subtleties to people sometimes, but I don't actually know. I mean, I've heard some people argue that, well, maybe instead of having 9 at-large counselors, we should have, and I'll just make up numbers. Maybe we should have 5 district-based counselors.
But you know, in a sense,
large.
I know, but in some ways, the way RPR works, we sort of have people that represent a certain area of the city, like Toomey always kind of got East Cambridge, you know, Craig Kelly got North Cambridge. I mean, there's sort of a already, but how would that change?
You know, I think I would make the case that proportional representation, when working well, and not being driven by single issue politics, when it's really all about representativeness and representation,
it should go,
you know,
beyond
independent of, you know, single hot button issues, right?
Yeah.
Which come and go, right? Then it absolutely has the potential to be proportionally representative in many ways, geographically, gender, religious affiliations, and issues, right? So it's kind of like a statistical snapshot when it's working well.
Yeah.
You know, I think it gets distorted and, you know, really confounded when you have, you know, if a municipal election is to be entirely decided by an issue of the day, like a bicycle pledge or
trees, bicycles.
You know, the people from ABC versus CCC are having their endless spat, right? Then, you know, I don't know that proportional representation delivers in the way that it ideally should.
And how does it work with slates then too?
Well, exactly. Right. So in other words, if the only way you can get the blessing of one of the endorsing organizations is to agree with them on the one issue that counts to them, then basically, and then if everybody votes based on slate affiliation or whatever, which they don't, but a lot of people do. And they actually, a lot of people do these days, largely because of the lack of information. So they're looking for, they're looking for guidance. So they look to whatever's out there.
They're not following all of it. As people say, they're not following all these meetings. They don't.
Exactly.
They only get their listserv alerts about, you better go to the planning board meeting, which is, I guess, happening right now.
That's right. I think they're talking about changes to multifamily zoning possibilities. It's an ongoing discussion. I'm glad the planning board is doing things that way, by the way.
They're
not just sort of meeting in order to decide on a petition. They're actually having a conversation, which years ago is how the planning board and the planning department that preceded it used to do business. They would actually produce studies. I mean, I have some on my shelves here, you know, where there would be ongoing detailed discussion involving members of the planning board.
So, all right. So
actually
refresh me.
Planning.
Yeah. So what they're discussing then, it's not a petition, but it's an ongoing discussion about whether we should change something. In other words,
the political people and the petitioners certainly are, they're all waiting. They want to put in things to, you know, eliminate all single family zoning or to densify or to allow 13-story buildings along the corridors is one of the proposals I've heard floated. You know, there's a lot of things that are sort of watching and waiting here. I think the Community Development Department is probably, it's fair to say, are trying to get a little ahead of the curve this time by introducing some different ways of thinking about planning and zoning.
So this has come from
coming out of the department, out of the
planning department.
And I think that potentially this is a good thing. I'm not in any way endorsing any of the ideas that are being floated, by the way. In terms of process, I'd rather see it that way rather than have a couple of people in so-and-so's kitchen come up with a zoning petition and then bulldoze their way through.
I'm honestly sick of that.
I'm just really sick of it. You know, I mean, if we have a planning department, we should be using the planning department. Yeah. And if we have elected officials, they should be listening to their people and having a real conversation rather than trying to strong arm things, you know. You know, we gotta fix a few broken things around here. That's true.
Yeah.
By the way, not that I want to dwell on it, but, you know, one part of the planning charter is the proportional representation portion of it.
Right.
And if you may recall that back, I think when Dennis Carlone was first elected, which I think was 2013, within a month or so, I think there had been a controversy about the Cincinnati method. You know, as part of the
surplus votes.
Yeah, which has always been sort of an embarrassingly difficult piece to explain to people about why we have a semi-random election system where if you shuffled the ballots, you could technically get different results.
Right.
Nobody's particularly loved that. So there was a move by Dennis at the time, you know, suggesting the city look into it. And there were some requirements that would require actual changes to the charter before they could be implemented.
Oh. Okay.
So that's why it kind of ground to a halt. I know, because I got called into the manager's office about this and, you know, with the city solicitor and people from the elections department. So there was, you'd have to actually move to do either a special act or something like that. So I'm only mentioning this here because if they are going to be having conversations about changing the charter,
That should be brought up then. Yeah.
Yeah. And if our particular, I'm not talking about changing away from proportional representation.
No, but the way we deal with the.
Yeah. Just this sort of the mathy part of that.
Yes.
I think that should be on the table as one possible alteration. Okay. Is just a minor modification so that the semi-randomness of our system can be gone once and for all.
Okay, but you on your site, you do go into this.
Yeah,
tabulations that said it wouldn't be that much different?
Generally speaking, it would not be all that much different. It is true. I'll only point it out here.
Yeah, we only have a minute and a half. So
yeah, so I don't want to kind of dwell on this, but I would just want to at least point it out here. So I together with a lot of narrative about what the actual changes would be, I actually just put up on a website the actual results of the most recent city council election, November 2021, how you would do it if you were to change it to the so-called fractional transfer. Okay. But there are two variations, one that allows, what we call overvotes, no need to get into that now.
Yeah.
And one that bypasses overvotes, which is currently what we do on our system. We don't permit them.
I see.
You elect exactly the same people in more or less the same way. It's not a radical change in that sense, but I wanted to at least put that out there to have an example for people to understand. So that's available, and I did that in response to some requests from somebody on a Cambridge course listserv, and I've been meaning to do it for a while anyway.
I just
put it up there. I said, look, if you people ever want to think about this, and you might as well start your reading right there. and can call me a jerk if you want, but I think it's in a year when we are perhaps going to talk about possible revisions, I would hope that this would at least be on the list of possibilities.
Good.
Good. And then I'm sure there'll be some sort of bigger changes some people may want as well, but I hope people will take some time to read that a little bit.
Give us all enough to look at. So
That's right.
We'll be meeting in February, our next week.
We'll be back.
First Tuesday in February.
That's right.
And let's hope for the best with Omicron and all that.
And happy Groundhog's Day.
Oh, right. Yes.